Interesting afternoon in Switzerland with, of course, the world of football in a bit of shock, really, and maybe a little bit of delight as well. Sepp Blatter finally quitting as the president of FIFA. To talk about this and what next, really, for FIFA is the chief correspondent from Inside World Football, and that's Andrew Warshaw. Good morning, Andrew.
Good morning. How are you?
Very well. How are you?
Very tired.
I can imagine it would have been quite a long night for you. I mean, this whole week has just been absolutely staggering, hasn't it?
The most momentous week I can ever remember in over 30 years of covering this beat.
It is unbelievable from the arrests from last week. What surprised us is the timing of Blatter's resignation. I don't think anybody was really expecting that at all yesterday.
No, it took everyone by surprise. This press conference was called with 90 minutes notice, so those of us who weren't there didn't have time to go back to Zurich. And then it was delayed for a further 45 minutes. Now, once that happened, you knew this was not just some routine press conference. You knew something big was going to happen. And the speculation quickly on social media was that it was either going to be Blatter or his number two, Jerome Valk, who was going to go.
Why do you think he's taken this decision to step down so soon after being re-elected? Do you think something's happened with this investigation?
Yeah, I think one of two things, guys. Either there's been a seismic development in the US investigation, which will come out in a day or two, maybe, and Blatter's lawyers advised him to, you know, walk before he was pushed. Or else he's just become completely overwhelmed, you know, buried under this avalanche of corruption allegations, and simply thought at the age of 79, look, I've done my best, I can't take this anymore.
I mean, obviously, quite a lot of the world are rejoicing in this news, and certainly the English FA are, but there will be certain pockets around the world. He did have a lot of support in some of the emerging nations. There will be some upset that he's gone.
Not a little bit, a lot. I mean, I keep saying this when I come on air with your and other stations, that listeners have got to understand that, you know, this view that has sort of been illustrated in this country in terms of the rejoicing of Blatter going, the clarion cry for proper reform, everybody saying, you know, new era, thank God we've seen the back of the guy. This is not shared by many countries in the world who feel that he's been good for them, who view him as a father figure, who respect him. Now, that might be unpalatable for people who think he's been at the head of an organization that's been rife with corruption, but unfortunately it represents a reality.
Blatter says there's going to be an extraordinary Congress to elect the next head of FIFA. Who are the main candidates?
Well, it's early days. It's a bit premature to say. Michel Platini, the UEFA president, has been mooted as one possibility, though he said before he wanted to stay on at UEFA and complete his mission. complete my mission. A statement that Blatter's used many times, as the listeners might know. But no, that's what Michel Platini said. Now, maybe, because he no longer has to take on Blatter, he might consider the path is clear for him to step up. That's one possibility. Prince Ali, who ended up being Blatter's only challenger on Friday, is another, although I'm not 100% sure, despite reports that he's made up his mind, that he actually has. Those are two possibilities. There are a couple of people in Asia, as well as Prince Ali, and there's also the possibility of an African candidate, because you see, although Blatter has stepped down, although he's really now only a token president until this new election takes place, he's not going to just disappear. You know, he is going to have considerable clout and influence over the person who succeeds him, and how that will work is, you know, if somebody wants to bid for the FIFA presidency, and it's in an area of the world that Blatter had support, well then he's going to canvass very heavily for his supporters to get behind that person. So it's very intriguing, the next few months.
Yeah, very intriguing indeed. What about 2018 and 2022? Lots been made of those two World Cups, and a lot's been made of maybe the possibility of corruption with those World Cups that are being given to Russia and to Qatar. And of course, the red tops. You look at the Sun, you look at the Mirror. They're all saying, "Oh, that we re-vote on the World Cups." Is that something that is possible, or are they too far down the line?
I think 2018 is too far down the line. Let's face it, the draw for the finals in 2018 is, 6 weeks away? Less. The end of July. So, yeah, sorry, just about a couple of months away. Just under 2 months. Now, I can't see Russia not staging the 2018 World Cup. That's too far down the road. Qatar's a different matter. If the person who comes in to replace Sepp Blatter thinks that the ballot 5 years ago was rigged, or in some way there was malpractice involved, then there could be quite a strong case for rerunning the Qatar vote. But you see, even that is fraught with complications, because the vote for Qatar was staged at exactly the same time as the vote for Russia by exactly the same people. So there's a case for saying, well, if you legally, I'm not a lawyer, but I guess there's a case for saying legally, if you rerun one vote, since it was done concurrently, you've got to rerun the other. So again, there's a lot to come, and in this is just the start. Watch this space.
I tell you what, the one thing is, this next few weeks and this next month or so, Andrew, you're going to be possibly the busiest you've ever been.
Well, I wish I could say I was. I'm actually, I scheduled a vacation for 2 weeks.
As of is that still
week.
On?
Well, it is. I'll get slaughtered if I don't go. but that was because this was supposed to be the quietest non-entity of an election, with June being a very quiet month for football. Well, unfortunately, I'm going to have my eyes and ears on Zurich while I'm in America.
Yeah, you're going to be very busy over there. But also, just one last thing, that another couple of hats have been thrown into the ring for the presidency. I heard that David Ginola is going to have another crack at it. Do you think, you know, some of these names have got a chance? Certainly Ginola or Figo coming back into it?
No, I don't think they've got a chance. I think Ginola was a token, a lovely guy though he is, great footballer though he was. I'm a Spurs fan, so I remember very well. I don't think he's got the gravitas or the experience to mount a credible challenge. Luis Figo might get a few more votes than he might otherwise have done had he not pulled out. But again, I don't think he's got that heavyweight status. Very, very interesting to see, you know, who has. I've heard even Diego Maradona. You know, this is a silly season for the next few days and weeks for the election. Names being bandied around all over the place. But ultimately, I think it'll come down to two or three.
It's going to be so interesting, and we thank you very much for spending some time just to run through it with us, Andrew Walshaw. Cheers for joining us on Radio Yorkshire this morning.
Okay, guys.